Hi, good evening. How are you? I'm Zev Prince. I teach Gemara and Jewish law, halacha, here at Maino. Do I have your daughter? Okay. Good, and the Schwartzes and the Princes. What's your last name?
Adler.
Adler, okay, good.
Who's that?
No, I don't have it by now. Okay, good to see everybody. Good evening. The topic for this evening's talk is the mitzvah, or whether or not it's a mitzvah, to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. I'm assuming we're all familiar somewhat with the obligation to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. And tonight we're going to discuss the nature of that mitzvah. I want to just start by saying that, unfortunately, or fortunately, sometimes men get a bad rap that we have difficulty remembering important dates that are more important to other members of our family, i.e. our wives and others, such as birthdays, anniversaries, etc., etc. And I saw a study recently that the truth of the matter is the reason why men have more difficulty in remembering these important dates, which they are important, perhaps is not really of any fault of their own, but is perhaps because of genetic differences that men share with women. I just want to read with you a short excerpt from a study that I saw quoted in the New Republic. This research was done at the Institute of Psychiatry at King's College of London. So I just want to share with you an interesting study they did. So the study says that while men lack the ability to remember the date of an anniversary, they're better at storing a seemingly endless list of useless facts and figures. And all this, the study says, is because of genetic differences. Researchers have found that males use different genes from females when making the new connections in the brain that are needed to create long-term memories. They believe this might explain why men are far better at remembering tactical memories, such as travel directions and trivia, while women form more emotional memories, such as birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, and details about the world around them. They identified two genes that seem to be important for learning and making memories in males, but not in females. The differences they found may account for the difference in the way the memories of men and women are performed. In tests, such as a maze, they were able to show that while male mice were faster at making the spatial memories that allowed them to learn a route of the maze, we see these sex differences in humans too, as males and females use different strategies when it comes to remembering the route through a city, for example. In some tasks, males are far better than females, and on other occasions, females are better than males, researchers said. Okay. So, nice as it is that we might have an excuse for why we have difficulty remembering important dates because it's all genetic, I think that today we're about to see that we have an even better excuse. And the better excuse we have is that we see... You staying? No, okay. The better excuse we have is that we see, in the pasuk we're about to read, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, God himself, has difficulty, so to speak, if we can say such a thing, remembering the date of a very important anniversary which he shares with the Jewish people. What am I referring to? So let's look at the Torah for a second. Let's look at the first source on your source sheets. Source... number one, it's an excerpt from Parshat Emor, from Sefer Vayikra, the psukim that deal with the obligation of Inui on Yom Kippurim. And we're just going to read the underlined section. So the Torah starts out and it says, "Ach be'esor l'chodesh ha-shvi'i hazeh Yom Kippurim hu." Then on the tenth day of the seventh month, which is referring to the month of Tishrei, is to be Yom Kippur, Mikra Kodesh Yalachem, which will be a holy convocation. What shall you do on Yom Kippur? V'inisim esnasho seichem. You are to be involved, engaged in Inui. And we know Chazal tell us that Inui includes five things. Five things that a person has to prohibit is not allowed to allow himself to engage in. The Krav Temi Shelah, the Na'i Yishab in Karbanu. Okay, very nice. So the Pasuk tells us when is Yom Kippur, when do these Inuim apply? No ambiguity about it. The Inuim apply on the 10th day of Yom Kippur, correct? Correct. However, go down to Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Lamed Bezim, sorry, let's continue reading. Shabbat Shabbaton Hu Lachem. What is Yom Kippur called? Yom Kippur is called the Sabbath of all Sabbaths. V'inisim es nafsho seichem. You shall afflict your souls. Right? The word inui again. When do these inuyim take place? B'tisha l'chodesh. On the ninth day of the month. Be'erev me'erev ad erev. Right? In the evening. Me'erev ad erev. From evening until evening. Including, right, a 25-hour period of time. Tish pasu shabbatchem. Right? You rest. What's the problem with these two psukim that I underlined here? The first pasuk tells us that the mitzvah of Inui applies on which day? On the 10th. And the second pasuk tells us that the Inui applies on the 9th. So the first problem we have is that Yom Kippur is not just Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the anniversary of the Jewish people and God. What am I referring to? Bikias is here, presidential Bikias. So we'll get there. Right? The very end of the Maseches Tanis tells us that the Yom Kippur commemorates not only the day when we ask for forgiveness, atonement from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Yom Kippur represents the day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the second set of Luchot, the second set of tablets, right? And we're familiar with the fact that HaBnei Yisrael and God constructed, so to speak, a wedding canopy on Har Sinai, right? That means that Yom Kippur is our anniversary of our wedding. And the Luchot were the ring which God gave to his bride, to the Jewish people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has the date all wrong. It's an anniversary. Not an anniversary between two individuals, but an anniversary between a nation and their God. And yet, we see that the Torah itself seems to have the date wrong. So what's pshat? Is Yom Kippur, now we all know Yom Kippur is on the 10th day of Tishrei, right? There's no uncertainty about that. I don't think anyone here is going to leave confused. We know when Yom Kippur starts. But the question is, why is that when the Torah mentions Yom Kippur, why is it that the date seems to be a bit blurred? Any suggestions? So the truth of the matter is that it's important that we have these psukim. Because these psukim and the seeming inconsistency between when the date of Yom Kippur is and when Inui is the source of two very important halachot. What am I referring to? There are two mitzvot which relate to Yom Kippur, but which begin Erev Yom Kippur. What mitzvot am I referring to? The mitzvot of Seuda on Erev Yom Kippur, right? And the Inyan of Tosefet Yom Kippurim. And the truth of the matter is that this pasuk, Lamed Beis is the source for both of them. How can it be that one pasuk is the source of two separate dinim? We know that can't be. So the Gemara Mishnah deals with that. But I want to focus on the Seuda aspect, the eating on Erev Yom Kippur aspect. So how do we see it? Where does it come up? So it comes up in several Masechtot. It comes up in about five places in Shas, but we'll quote the first one. So the Gemara in Brachos tells Rabbi Bar Abayi Savar, this is source number two. Abayi was very makbid to do what's it referring to? Parsha Sina Dechule Shasa. He did the Parsha for the entire year. He did Shnai Mechra Vecha Targum. Every week he would do the Parsha relating to that week. And as this always happens, when the end of the year comes up, right, Simchas Torah is about to, was a week away. Simchas Torah was a week and a half away. And he saw that he wasn't going to be able to finish the entire Parsha. So he decided, Erev Yom Kippur, right? I'm off from work, we're off from school. He decided the base medrash is empty. I might as well catch him at Shnai Mechra Vecha Targum on Erev Yom Kippur. Tana Lechia Bar Rav Medifti, right? He said to him, no. My dear Rabbi Bar Abaye, now is not the time for learning Shnai Mechra Vecha V'targum, right? There are other times to learn. You can't learn Erev Yom Kippur alone. You have to be involved in other things. Ksiv, and he quotes the pasuk that we just read above, right? Ve'inisem esnasho seichem in Perechav Gimel in Vayikra, betisha lechodesh be'erev. So says the Gemara, our question, v'chi betisha misanin. Is that true that we fast on the ninth day of Tishrei? Can't be. Everybody knows that Yom Kippur is on Esiri on the 10th day. V'haloba asara misanin, don't we fast on the 10th day of Tishrei? Elomar lecha, what is the Torah coming to teach us by the fact that the day is mentioned once as the 9th and once as the 10th? Kola ochel v'shose b'chi'i, whoever eats and drinks on the 9th day of Tishrei, i.e. Erev Yom Kippurim, ma'aleh levakos of kilu misanin b'chiv esiri. The Torah views it as if he has fasted on the 9th day and the 10th day. So from here, the Gemara tells us that we have an obligation for one of the most popular mitzvot in all of Kol Torah Kula, the obligation to do nothing but eat. And what is that eating tied to? Eating is tied to Yom Kippur. And when does that mitzvah fall out? Torah tells us, B'chi'i, that falls on the ninth day. And what do we consider someone who eats on the ninth day of Tishrei? Kila Masana, B'chi'i V'siri, as if you fast on the ninth and the tenth. Now that's a discussion, why it is that we view eating as a mitzvah of fasting for 2 days. That's a separate issue, but we're not going to get into that right now. What I want to focus on is this: the nature of this mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So we see from this Gemara there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and we seem to find a pasuk as a source. Now we should be asking ourselves two questions after we see this Gemara, right? What two questions do you want to ask yourself whenever you see a Gemara such as this? A Gemara which seems to outline a mitzvah which we're unfamiliar with, but yet it's from the Pesukim. What two questions do you want to ask ourselves? Question number one. I'll give you a hint. It seems to be from the Pesukim, so you want to know, Is this a deraisa or a derabanan? Why is it important to know whether or not the mitzvah is a deraisa or a derabanan? Why is it important whether or not this mitzvah is a biblical commandment or a rabbinic commandment? Why might that be important for us to know? Why do we care? One reason. Is there a bracha, right? Mitzvahs may deraisa have bracha. Let's say it comes in conflict with another mitzvah. Which one takes priority? We know the biblical commandments take priority over rabbinic commandments. So if we come in conflict, let's say Perfect example, the Achronim will deal with this, right? There's a mitzvah of Tosefes Yom Kippurim to add on to the fast, to start. We always go to shul before the fast starts. Everybody knows we have Merkabel a fast before the fast starts. So if there's a mitzvah, Midiyaraisa, to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and there's a mitzvah to start fasting early on Erev Yom Kippur, which one takes priority? Well, if we can figure out which one is Midiyaraisa and which one is Derabanan, we're on easy street, right? Okay. Those are obviously some, that's obviously one question we have to ask. First question we have to ask is this a Midiyaraisa or a Midirabanan? And as we're going to see, this relates in many more areas rather than just one. It relates in many different areas. What's the second thing we want to figure out? The Gemara told us you have to fast on the ninth day. What did the Gemara not tell us? It starts with a W, it ends with a Y, and it has an H in the middle. Why? Right? Did the Gemara tell us why we fast on Erev Yom Kippur? No. So the second reason was, second thing we want to find out is the Gemara is very cute. The Gemara seems to be very little too cutesy, right? The Gemara says that there's a problem in the Pesukim, so it comes up with this cute little idea that Yom Kippur starts early. But you can't fast for 2 days. People can't fast for 2 days. The Gemara tells the story that one of the Rabbanim wanted to fast 2 days and he passed away, right? We can't fast for 2 days. It's too much for us. So we added this cutesy idea that why don't we just eat instead? And eating counts like fasting, right? But the Gemara doesn't tell us why. So we'll leave number one for now. We're going to get to number one in a second. Let's say why. So why do we fast? Why do we eat an Erev Yom Kippur? Are you familiar with any svarot? What are some svarot of why we eat an Erev Yom Kippur? Anybody know of any? What are some reasons why we fast eat an Erev Yom Kippur? No? We've heard them. What are they? Give me one. No, give me one. Okay. So, no. Okay. Well, you know what? Let's do this. While you warm up, let's start looking at some of these sources. No, I don't want to do that. Give me a reason. Okay, I'll give you a reason. Right? What happens if you eat before a fast? Does the fast become easier or harder? Harder? Ooh. So maybe it's make the fast harder. Or alternatively, what would most people say? We eat before a fast because you want the fast to be easier. So maybe it's to be easier. Okay, excellent. Two reasons. Okay, easier or harder. Good. We're going to get there in a second. Okay. And we're going to see some more svarot. Anyone else heard of any now that my father's given to? Anybody want to give one? What's the reason?
Elevate the eating to a spiritual.
Ah, excellent. Maybe we're trying to, anyone can fast, right? I mean, fasting just means not doing something. But to do something and do it right, for the right reason, is a higher level. So maybe we're being ma'aleha achila. Maybe we're elevating the act of eating. Excellent. Anyone else want to say something? Let me get you to think of something that perhaps we're overlooking here. Most Yom Tovim, what do we do? On all Yom Tovim except for Yom Kippur, how is Yom Kippur different than all Yom Tovim? On all Yom Tovim, we go with our family, we sit around a table, and we have a Seuda. So maybe the eating of Yom Kippur fulfills what aspect of the Yom Tov? Perhaps it's for Seudas Yom Tov. Why do we not have a Seuda on Yom Kippur? We'll get to that. Maybe there's some aspect of Seudas Yom Tov on Yom Kippur. Okay, so that is all the why. Now, let's get to... I wish I had a marker that worked, but it's okay. Let's get to the Midiyaraisa and Midirabanan, right? This is all the why. I won't be lazy. I'll get a WH. Okay, why? Let's get to the Midiyaraisa and Midirabanan. So someone tell me, why do you think that this is a Din Midiyaraisa? Why? Obviously. Why would you think this is a Din Midiyaraisa? Because the Gemara says... What does the Gemara say? V'inisem es nafsho seichem b'tisho l'chodesh... And the brace uses that pasuk as the source. Okay? Well, yeah, but the Gemara is interpreting that pasuk as the source for the mitzvah. So the Gemara is interpreting that pasuk, quoting that pasuk as the source for the din. Okay? So let's see. So let's first get to the ta'am ha-mitzvah, right? No pun intended. Ta'am means to taste. Let's get the reason why we taste an Erev Yom Kippur, right? So why do we eat an Erev Yom Kippur? Okay, pun intended. So there... Let's see. So let's turn to your source, and your sheet is source number 3. So the truth is, there's a better Rashi. I could have quoted a Rashi in Yuma, but the Rashi here will do. I mean, what time the shiur is over?
The next shiur is 8:40.
Oh, okay. Well, plenty of time. Okay, fine. Either way. So the Rashi says as follows. So the Torah views it as if you fasted for 2 days. This is the Torah. It says, prepare yourselves, Batisha Lechodesh, on the ninth day of the month, Le'inoy Hemachars, in order that you can be involved in Inuy the next day. Obviously, we're referring to the Inuy of eating here. Vaharehu Be'enai Ki'inu Hayom. So what does Rashi tell us? What's the purpose of eating an Erev Yom Kippur? What's the purpose according to Rashi? What's the purpose according to Rashi? Give me a word that starts with a hey. It's the Hebrew equivalent of the word preparation. Hachana. Right? So the question is why? Right? We're going back to we'll start with question number two first. Question is why? According to Rashi, it's hachana. What kind of hachana is it? It's to make the fasting easier. Okay? Again, Rashi doesn't say it explicitly here. But the Rush, the next source, does, and Rush other places do as well. We're not going to read the Rush inside because we don't have to. Let's do the underlined section. Kloma rechinu atzmechem betisha lechodesh. Next source. Lehischazik beechila uveshtia. In order to strengthen yourself with eating and food and drink. Kadesh tucha lesanos lemachar. In order that you'll be able to fast the next day. Laharos chiba shalamakam baruchu. In order that you can show your chiba for a Kadosh Baruch. You can go to shul instead of falling asleep in the middle of Kol Nidre, right? Or in the middle of Nila, you can be wide awake. And involved in Tefillah Hashem. Beautiful. Okay. Now, there's another type of hachana. Preparation to make the fast easier or preparation to make the fast? Not your question. The opposite of easy is hard, right? So let's see. Is there a day that says that? What do you think? Is there a day out there that says to make the fast harder? Of course there is, right? It's a day for everything. So let's see. The Shiboli Aleket. The Shiboli Aleket mentions several reasons. We're just going to see the first reason he mentions. And we'll quote the second one outside. So says the Shiboli Aleket at the beginning of the underline in source number 5, right, by Rabbi Yamin Harofe in the 1200s. Oh, yesh lomar, shmepnei she'ochel yafeh be'erev Yom Kippurim, of Yom Kippurim, sana kashalo inu yoter. Or perhaps we can say, why do we eat an Erev Yom Kippur? She'ochel yafeh be'erev Yom Kippur, because if you're going to eat well and have a great meal and eat bland chicken and rice and bland potatoes and water on Yom Kippur, misana kashalo inu yoter, right? Fasting is going to become difficult for you, and it's going to be a greater sense of inui. So what does he say? It's a type of hachana, but not hachana to make it easier, but hachana to make it harder. He does quote an interesting idea. Oh, thank you so much. You're great, thank you. I work here and I can't get markers. Okay. Hachana to make it harder. Oh, beautiful, thanks, Amrash. That's right? Hachana to make it harder. He quotes another idea from his brother. One of them is Yonatan Harofi, I think. One of them is Binyamin Harofi. He quotes Binyamin, the next one is his brother. And he quotes an idea, and he says, perhaps, there's an idea, that it's because the Karaites view this pasuk literally, and they fast every 2 days, so we eat in order to disprove the Karaim. So we didn't write that down, but we're not going to focus on it, but perhaps we can write that down, Karaites. Right? Okay. We're not going to focus on the difference between easier or harder. Can we think of a nafkamina? A practical distinction why it might be important to know whether we're eating to make the fast harder or easier? Is there a practical distinction? Okay, how you prepare yourself, very good, right? Everybody ever been to an Israeli drugstore? No, why would you have been to an Israeli drugstore? They sell something called Somkal. They sell something called Fast Easy Pills, which are basically just nutritional vitamins, supplements that don't dissolve. They just grind up matzah and put them in pill form, and then you never digest them. They do. They put stuff like that in a little pill. It's called Somkal, and it makes the fasting easier, or caffeine pills. So according to Shiboli Aleket, perhaps if the idea is to make the fast harder, we shouldn't make the fast easier for ourselves. Where if you're going to say that according that it's not a problem, that's make the fast easier, so because then, hey, eat whatever you want. So it happens to be that the Shmas Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Reischer, says it's not a problem. I once asked about caffeine pills, are not a problem either, so it's not so relevant. Maybe the Shiboli Aleket would not want you to do it, but not our purposes right now. So one idea is we're going to call it the hey factor. The hachana factor. So perhaps the reason why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur is for hachana. But let's see if we can find another reason. And we already said it. Perhaps there's another reason why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and that's going to be found in the next source. And this idea is quoted in several places, but it's quoted from the Ritva and others in the name of the Sha'arei Tshuva, in the name of the Rabbeinu Yonah, in the Sefer Sha'arei Tshuva. So what does he say? He says a very nice idea. Let's skip down. Let's skip. Actually, you know what? Should we read the whole thing? Let's skip to 10. If we get to that, we have time. We'll do the beginning of it. So skip down in the Sha'arei Tshuva. In the middle, you see a little tet on the right side. It's like four lines up from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines up. There's a tet all on the right side. Tet. So let's read his reasoning over here. V'hashenis ki b'shar yamim tovim anachnu kavuim b'sud l'smach l'simchas ha-mitzvah. On all other Yom Tovs, we have Simchas HaMitzvah, we have a Suda. Ki Yagdil V'Yishtag Me'od Tzchar HaMitzvah Al HaMitzvos. right? Because we want to get the reward for rejoicing in the mitzvahs. Kamo Shemar Zeh says, Nevi'im Avata Imcha Hanim Sapo Re'isi B'Simcha Lehizna Dev Lecha. But now Martach Shel Avata Hashem Lekach B'Simcha B'Tov Lev. Because we're told in the Torah, in several places, we have to perform mitzvahs with simcha and with happiness. And that's part of the performance of the mitzvah is simcha. U'mepnei Sha'atzom Yom Kippurim Nischaivu Lekvo Asudas Al Simcha Sa Mitzvah Be'av Yom Kippurim. And for this reason, on Yom Kippur, we're mechuyav to be koveya the suda al simcha semitzah b'Erev Yom Kippurim. We fulfill the simcha of Yom Kippur on Erev Yom Kippur. So he says it's simcha sayom tov. And I'll tell you outside what he says in the first one, which is also beautiful, is he says a person, when they do an aveira, wonders and worries, am I ever going to be forgiven for this aveira? Is it going to be haunting me for the rest of my life? Will I ever see the day when I can put this behind me? And finally we reach Yom Kippur, it's Erev Yom Kippur, I can't contain myself, I'm about to go to shul, I'm so misameach, I want to eat a seuda. Similar idea, but different. It's all related to simcha. Oh, so now we see two separate ideas, right? And the question of why do we eat an Erev Yom Kippur, we see there's an idea of simcha, an idea of hachana, preparation. Ooh, very important, right? So now, this is going to be the bulk of the rest of the remaining time we have together. What are some of the major nafkaminos, some of the major practical halachic differences that we can think of between whether or not the mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah of, eating an Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah of simcha, right? Or is it a mitzvah of Inui. Ooh. I'm sorry, Hachana. So let's think. Right? Is the mitzvah of Hachana, or is it a mitzvah of Simcha? Let me think of any practical differences. Oh! Well, excellent. That actually relates to Simcha. It also relates to the Midrash and Midrabban, right? Do we have bread or not? Right? So one idea is it a full-fledged Seuda? Right? Does it have all the characteristics of a Seuda? I.e. bread. And that's going to be related to whether or not, and by the way, this nafkamina of deraisa, derabanan, and the tam and mitzvah are all related. Right? So actually, you know what? Before we get to this, since they're related, let's get to the makor. Is it a deraisa or a derabanan? Let's do that for a second, because I don't want to, because we're going to lump them together. Okay? So let's see for a second. Is it deraisa or derabanan? So before we see whether or not it's deraisa or derabanan, we need a bit of background information. It's interesting that although this halacha is brought up, as I said, five times in the Gemara, Erev Yom Kippur, the Rambam, who was responsible for codifying the mitzvot, doesn't quote it at all halacha. Quotes Tosefes Yom Tov, doesn't quote this at all halacha. However, he does quote it as a side point, tangentially, in Hilchos Nedarim. Now, before we go through this halacha, because it seems to be counterintuitive, we need a bit of background information. So again, we're going to focus on, now we already focused on the Tam HaMitzvah, right? Now I want to focus on, is it Derais or Derabanan? Then we're going to try to find nafkaminas between all these different reasons. So there's an idea that if a person makes a shvua on a mitzvah, if I make a shvua that I'm going to, if I make a shvua that I'm going to violate a mitzvah, right? I make a shvua that I'm not, if I make a shvua that I'm going to eat treif. Or if I make a shvua, let's say, that I am not going to perform Kiddush on Shabbos. Or make a shvua that I'm not going to ever eat on Shabbos. Is a shvua chal al mitzvah? Can you make a shvua on a mitzvah? No. Why? Because you have a concept from Maseches Shvuos, Mushpav Omer Mehar Sinai, that all of us stood at Har Sinai and we all swore that we'd keep the mitzvos. So none of us have the prerogative of swearing that we're not going to keep a mitzvah. Because we all already swear, and the shvuah is not chalal shvuah. Once I swore at Har Sinai, I can't go and swear again. However, there's a din that you can make a neder on a mitzvah. So although I'm not allowed to say that I'm going to violate a mitzvah, or I'm not allowed to say that I'm not going to keep a mitzvah, I can say that I'm going to make a neder. What seems to be a shvuah and a neder? A shvuah is, it's upon me. I am not going to perform the mitzvah. A neder is upon the object. So let's say I say, I'm not going to eat this matzah on Leil Pesach. I didn't say I'm not going to eat matzah on Pesach. I just said the only matzah that exists in this whole town, I'm not going to eat. Same thing, right? I've now forbidden this matzah to myself, and therefore I can't fulfill the mitzvah. But I didn't swear off the mitzvah. I swore off this matzah. It happens to be there's no other matzah available. So says the Gemara, and the Rambam quotes it, if you make a neder on a mitzvah, it's chawai. So I'm not swearing off the mitzvah. I'm swearing off the object. There's no other object to fulfill the mitzvah with. Okay, that happens to be. That's a tragedy as a side point. But I'm not swearing off the mitzvah. So let's say a person takes a shvuah and says, I am going to fast on every Erev Yom Tov. I'm going to fast Erev Yom Kippur. Right? Not chal. Because you have a mitzvah to eat on Yom Tov. Let's say a person says, I'm going to fast every Sunday. And this year, Erev Yom Kippur is on a Sunday. Is it chal or not? Yes. I didn't swear, I didn't take a shvua that I am not going to fast on, that I am not going to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. I took a neder that Sundays are days I don't eat. And it happens to be this year, it's a tragedy, I can't eat Erev Yom Kippur. So let's see how this comes up lahalacha, and we see this in the Rambam is going to be the source of whether or not Erev Yom Kippur is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. Very interesting. This is the only place the Rambam quotes it. Right? You would think he'd quote it elsewhere, but he doesn't. So says the Rambam. Let's try to do this very quickly because I want to focus on the nafkaminas for the rest of the remaining time we have. So says the Rambam in source number 7. Says the Rambam in source number 7. Hanoder, someone takes a neder, right? It's chal al the chetzah, not on the gufa, not on the person, but on the item. Shiatzom b'shabbos o b'yom tov chayav l'tzom. Person takes a neder that he's going to fast on Shabbos Yom Tov, right? He's chayav t'tzom. Shenadarim chalam al divrei mitzvah k'mo shibarnu. Because as we explained earlier in the Rambam, the darim are chal al mitzvahs even though shavuos are not. V'chein, and similarly, hanoder shiatzom yom rishon, now we're the underlying section. If someone takes an neder, they're going to fast on the Sunday, or on Shlishi, or on Tuesday, right? Kol yomav, his entire life. Upaga bo yom zeh, v'harehu yom tov. And it happens to be that this year, Sunday or Tuesday is yom tov. Oh, b'erev yom kippurim, or it's erev yom kippur. Ding, 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 ding. And we know you have to eat erev yom kippur. Harei zeh chayav utzom. He has to fast on erev yom kippur. Vein sarach lamar rosh chodesh. Now listen to this. Okay, so that doesn't prove that it's a deraisa derabanan. He just says, it could be din derabanan, and he says it's a mitzvah. Listen to what he says. Paga bo chanukah upurim. But if Tuesday or Monday happen to be Chanukah or Purim, you're not allowed to fast on Chanukah or Purim. Yidche nidro. Your neder is nidche. It's dachui. It's pushed off. And you have to eat on Chanukah and Purim, even if Tuesday or Sunday happens to be Chanukah or Purim. Why Chanukah and Purim do you have to eat? But on Erev Yom Kippur, you're allowed to fast. What's the difference? Listen to this. V'pnei hayamim elu ho'o v'isr hatzom behem edivrei sofrim. Since when it comes to Chanukah and Purim, it's a din d'rabbanan that you can't fast. And people sometimes take dinim d'rabbanan lightly. Harehein tzrich and chizuk. Purim and Chanukah need more chizuk, need more strength. They need more teeth. Right? Because Chanukah and Purim, everyone knows it's a din d'rabbanan. And the Esher of fast is only din d'rabbanan. Let's say it's a din d'rabbanan. It doesn't apply to me. V'yidcha nidim opin gzeres hachamim. And therefore, chazal, where goes there that you're b'docha, your neder, you have to eat on Chanukah and Purim. However, what didn't he say when it comes to Erev Yom Kippur? Is it nidcha? And if it was a din d'rabbanan, would it be nidcha? Yes. The fact that it's not nidcha shows that Erev Yom Kippur is strong. Why is Erev Yom Kippur stronger than Chanukah and Purim? Because while they're din d'rabbanan, it's only a din d'oraisa. Wow. So we see from the Rambam, almost black and white, but not quite black and white, implied, that Erev Yom Kippur, eating on Erev Yom Kippur, is a din d'oraisa. Wow, unbelievable, correct? Now, is that true? Does everyone agree to this? So let's look for a second. Right, the Rambam didn't say it explicitly, but he certainly seemed to imply it. Is this true or is this not true? So let's look for a second at the Radbaz, and this is not going to be our main focus. We're just going to briefly glance over this idea because I want to focus on Nafkaminas for the rest of the remaining time we have. So the Radbaz says, black and white, source number 8, he calls it a din d'oraisa. And he says that Erev Yom Kippur, the mitzvah of Achilas, Erev Yom Kippur is a din d'oraisa. Let's see number 9. Let's see the Kesef Mishnah inside. Let's see the Kesef Mishnah source number 9. Does he buy it? Or again, this Rambam is implied. But girls, what tell us. What are our options here? It could be that the Gemara quotes a Pasuk and the Rambam treats it like a mitzvah mid-deraisa. Does that mean that it's a mitzvah mid-deraisa? What else could it be called? An asmachta. Good, what's an asmachta? What's an asmachta? What's the word? What's the shayrish of the word asmachta? It's somech, right? It relies on a pasuk from the Torah, but does it have the same weight as a din d'oraisa? Does it have the same sort of teeth? Does it have the same pull when it clashes with a din d'rabbanan? Not necessarily. So we're not going to see the Kesef Mishnah inside. Let's look at the last line in the Kesef Mishnah. Yesh lomar. Let's go to the middle underlined section. V'yesh l'tmoa al Erev Yom Kippur, d'atu mishum drasha d'vanisim es nafsho seichem, she asmachta ba'alma le'mishum mid'oraisa. She says, I don't understand, right? Just because you have an asmachta in the Gemara, says the Kesef Mishnah, it appears to me like an asmachta, all of a sudden we're going to assume the Rambam is considering this to be a din d'oraisa? You mean to tell me that because the Gemara quotes an asmachta, let's assume it has the same way as din d'oraisa? Impossible. So says the Kesef Mishnah, but if it's only an asmachta, what question should we ask ourselves? If it's only an asmachta, then why were Chazal allowing us to? Why did they allow us to take a neder? Not to eat. Right? If it's only an asmachta, it should be weak like Chanukah and Purim. It shouldn't have the same strength as Chanukah and Purim. And therefore, we shouldn't be allowed to fast on it. So says the Kesef Mishnah, good question. last underlined section of Yesh Lomar, the Enechanami, She'enan Asurim, Ela Midirabanan. It's only Asur Midirabanan. Ela Shekevan, She'esh, look, it's Satzmach B'Torah. Since when it comes to Chanukah and Purim, is there any mention of Chanukah and Purim of those Yomim Tovim in the Torah? No, the Torah doesn't have any mention of Chanukah and Purim, right? There is no mention of it whatsoever. So therefore, it's completely a rabbinic holiday. However, says the Kesef Mishnah, She'kevan She'esh, look, it's Satzmach B'Torah. Since when it comes to eating Erev Yom Kippur, there's a smach, there's an asmach in the Torah. Lo asu lezulzulei b'hu. People aren't going to come to be mezalzel, they're not going to come to denigrate it. L'fichach einam tzrichim chizuk. It doesn't need chizuk. So what do we see? We see that if we had to define whether or not the mitzvah is din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan, we would put the Rambam on one side, and he says that it's a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. It seems to be a din d'o, at least according to the way the Radbaz understands him, right? The Kesef Mishnah disagrees. And we have the Kesef Mishnah, on the other hand, which says that it's a dirabon. So let's think of now, this is the interesting part. This is why this sugya is so fascinating. Okay, great. So we have two chilukim here. We have chiluk, number one, is the inyan of eating Erev Yom Kippur. Is it a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? And we have a second chiluk of, is the inyan of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, is it because of as a hechana for Yom Kippur? Either to make the fast easier or harder, and therefore the entire mitzvah is as a halachana, it's all dependent on Yom Kippur, right? It has no independence on its own. Or is it a mitzvah of simcha? And if it's a mitzvah of simcha, is it related to Yom Kippur? Is it related to the fast of Yom Kippur? No, it's not related to the fast, right? Whether or not I fast Yom Kippur, there's a separate inyan of simcha. So let's think of some great nafkaminas here. So we have one nafkamina of, does it take on the qualities of a suda, right? So let's think about it. If you hold it to din d'oraisa, should we treat it like a suda and have lechem? Perhaps yes. If it's a din hachana, should lechem or yayin be a prerequisite? Yes or no? No, who cares, right? If anything, eating too much bread or wine might make the fast harder for you. However, it's a din of simchas yom tov, like the Ben Yonah says. Should you be required to eat bread? Yes. Great. That's one nafkamina. Let's think of some better nafkaminas. Let's think of some more. Let me give you a hint. If it's a hachana, what's it a hachana for? For what? For what part of Yom Kippur? The fast. Now ask me a question. Let's say you're a person who's not going to. What if someone can't fast? So nafkamina number two. If you're not going to be fasting, right? If you're not going to be fasting, should you, according to Rashi, in the Rush, should you be eating an Erev Yom Kippur? Not necessarily. According to the Rish, should it make a difference? Right. Absolutely. Why shouldn't you be misameach like everyone else if you're not going to fast? If it's a din d'oraisa, right? Should it make a difference or should you still be obligated to eat an Erev Yom Kippur? Right, it was an independent, it depends. It's an independent din d'oraisa, absolutely. However, if it's only a din d'rabbanan, right, perhaps you shouldn't. Excellent. Give me another one. I'll give you a hint. It applies to half of you. More than half of you. Does it apply, the mitzvah of achilas erev can apply to women? Why is that a nafkamina? Why is that a valid nafkamina? Whether or not the inyan of achila on Erev Yom Kippur applies to women or not. Then what's it called? Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. If it's a din in Sudas Yom Tif, then it's an independent mitzvah. And women aren't obligated in Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. You're going to tell me Shabbos and Yom Tif? We'll get there in a second. Why do women have to eat on Shabbos? Is it because all of a sudden we suspend the rule of Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama? No, what's the reason? It's a separate limud based on Shamor V'Zachor. Do those two words exist one in the language of Yom Kippur? No. So if it's mitzvah seishas man grama and it's midin simchas yom tov, women should not be obligated, right, to have this uda. However, if it's a hachana, do women have to fast in Yom Kippur? 5 minutes? Women have to fast in Yom Kippur, yes or no? Why do they have to fast in Yom Kippur? Because it's related to an issa, right? The pasuk phrases it as a mitzvah saseh, we know that it includes a mitzvah slo taseh, it's an issa to eat. So if it's a din of hachana, a woman should be obligated to. And similarly, we're going to see a similar idea when it comes to if it's a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. What would you think? If it's a din d'oraisa, should women be obligated to keep it? If it's a din d'rabbanan? All right, we see it's going to be counterintuitive. We're going to see it in a minute. Okay, so those are the major opinions we have. Suda, someone who's not going to fast, let's say an ill person or woman. So perfect. There's more we can say on it, but let's focus on this right now. Let's just do the first nafkamina. Let's do women, okay? Well, that's the third one on the board, but let's do women, okay? Whether or not a woman has an obligation in eating an Erev Yom Kippur or not? It's a good question, right? What's the nafkamina if a woman has to eat an Yom Kippur or Yom Kippur or not? Whether or not she has to eat an Yom Kippur. That's the nafkamina, right? It's important to know. Okay, so let's see. Let's turn to the Shuk Sav Sofer. Everybody say that's source number 10? Everybody got that? Okay, source number 10. So he raises this question. The Ksav Sofer raises this question. Let's read the underlying section. So he says, right? Sveikaso in mitzvah zu de achilas erev Yom Kippur shi mitzvah seish man grama les panashim kechol mitzvah seish man grama nashim paturos onema. So are they paturo from this mitzvah like all other mitzvahs seish man grama? Says the Ksav Sofer. Onema, perhaps we should say kevin de isnehu batanis de Yom Kippurim chayavos nami be bekol mitzvahs Yom Kippurim. Or perhaps, since they're obligated in the Tanis, they should be obligated in the mitzvos as well. Once they're obligated in fasting Yom Kippurim, so they should be obligated in everything that comes along with that, all the other mitzvot, so to speak, of Yom Kippur. And he says, perhaps, this is actually not him, this is the person who asked the question, says, perhaps for the same reason that a woman is obligated in Kiddush and Shabbos. Like we said, why is a woman obligated in Kiddush and Shabbos? It's a mitzvah seishes man grama. So look what he says. Kamo b'Shabbos. Etc. Actually, Havdalah, I haven't seen Machlokas, but I guess we see how he paskins, right? Ein lom din Yom Kippur mishabbos. He says, no. We can't draw a connection between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. The reason why women are obligated in Mitzvah and Shabbos is different than Yom Kippur. What? Why is it different? Because it's based on a pasuk. He says that black and white. The Shani Shabbos, Shabbos is different. Dika Hekesh of Zachar v'Shamar. Because the Hekesh of Zachar v'Shamar. As it says, kol sheyeshno b'shmir, yeshno b'zechira. Whoever is obligated in shmirat Shabbat, in upholding the negative precepts of Shabbat, and safeguarding Shabbat, and not making sure not to violate it, is obligated in zechirat Shabbat, in the positive precepts on Shabbat. Oh, so we know now that we can't relate it to Shabbos. So the question is there another reason perhaps a woman should be obligated? And he briefly mentioned it before. So look what he says. He gives two reasons. Next underlined section. I guess we'll have to basically finish with this. He says, Shavti v'reisi. So he sat on this, he thought about it, he said, I can't use Shabbos as a proof, but he didn't sit right with him that women shouldn't be obligated. So what's the reason why women are obligated? He says, there are two other reasons why women should be obligated to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. Chada came with the nafkala mitzvah zu b'tisha l'chodesh, b'tisha b'chodesh b'erev, kol ha'ocha b'tshi'i k'ilu mis'ane b'tshi'i v'asiri, kol she'eshne b'tanis d'asiri ispa achilas tshi'i, sha'ochal k'mis'ane yechshav. Says, although we don't have our own hekesh here, the Gemara does make a hekesh. What hekesh does the Gemara make? Not zachar v'shamar, but kol hamesan ebe chi'i kilo mesan ebe chi'i ve'a siri. So says the Ksav Sofer, we have a different hekesh. Our Gemara is a hekesh. Once the Gemara connects the inyan of aninus and eating an Erev Yom Kippur and says that if one eats, they fulfill the mitzvah of inui, so now we have its own hekesh. Number one. What's the second reason? I'm not going to read it inside, but I want you to tell me. What's the second reason why they should have to? The woman need as much help fasting as men? Yes. Either hachana to make it easier, which he quotes, or hachana to make it harder. They would need as much hachana as men. Hachana shouldn't make any sort of difference, whether or not you're a man or a woman. Therefore, says the Kesef Mishnah, I'm sorry, the Ksav Sofer, it makes no difference. Now, there are other opinions. There's the opinion of Rav Akiva Eger on the opposite extreme, who says that, no, I don't buy it. Actually, it's interesting. I'll show you this Akiva Eger because it's just funny what he writes. Just turn to your last source in the source booklets. We're shooting Rabbi Akiva Eger. So his question is, it's not underlined, but let's look at the first line, about seven words in, after the comma. I'm not confounded. I'm not sure whether or not a healthy woman is obligated to eat an Erev Yom Kippur or not. Maybe they're paturah because mitzvah seishes man grama. Obviously, the creator was aware of the re. However, he says, next underlined section, oh, lo, or perhaps not. Kevon dekra mapik la belashem betisha lechodesh be'erev, since the Torah itself says that betisha bechodesh la'erev, velomar dehavik ilu misana b'shiva asiri, since the Gemara itself, based on the pasuk, quotes that fasting on the 9th is as if you fast on the 10th. Whoever is obligated in Vanisim has to eat as well. What does he say? When I have time, I'll think about this question. So obviously, what does it tell us about the Rikir? It's an interesting side point. He addresses the question, but he says, All right, but Sarachin the Eitzah Panai, when I have time, right, when I'm retiring, I'll deal with this question. What does that tell you about the Rekiv Eger, how we dealt with this question? He obviously was aware of the Re, and he obviously was aware of the question, Mr. Seish Man Grahman. He raises it as a real problem, but what does he not be motivated to? He does not motivated to the question. He says it's a good question, but he says, I'm not going to answer it now. When I have time, I'll think about this question. Basically, don't waste my time with it. Telling us that, don't ask me such questions. All right, so it's Lamdisha. And from a Lamdisha perspective, you can say perhaps either direction. But he says, L'halacha l'maisa, we've never seen women who haven't eaten on Erev Yom Kippur. Very interesting. Interesting perspective. So we see Reed, we see Rashi. Now, one thing I want to point out to you, we're not going to have time to see it, but the Chassav Sofer says as follows. He says, although we all paskin that women have an obligation to eat an Erev Yom Kippur, and although we all paskin based on Hachana, he doesn't even entertain the idea of Simchas Yom Tov. What he does say is as follows, and I'm not going to tell you how to paskin, but I will throw it out there for food for thought. He says, if a woman is not going to eat on Yom Kippur, should she...
Another
pun. Why?
Food for thought.
Oh, food for thought. If a woman is not going to eat on Yom Kippur, should she fast an Erev Yom Kippur? Meaning, in general, if a person is sick on Erev Yom Kippur, it's a good question. Let's assume for the moment that a person who's sick on Erev Yom Kippur...
First class session should end within the next 2 minutes.
Okay, we'll end this right here.
Session begins in 7 minutes.
Let's end this right here, right? I'll spill the beans right now for you right now. The Ksav Sofer says that a person who's sick and is not going to eat on Yom Kippur should still fast Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Because... What's that? She eat an Erev Yom Kippur. Why? One idea, because it's Ilum Kilum Misana. Because we view it as, you might as well get that schar for fasting, right? And secondly, that's one idea. And secondly, we might hold that it's a din of simcha. So either it's a din in simcha, and even if it's not a din in simcha, it could be a din de'araisa, and it's ke'ilum misana. It's as if you fasted. However, if it's for hachana, right, and inoy doesn't apply to you. So the Ksav Sofer says, we don't care. Even though you don't need hachana, if you're not going to fast, you should still eat an Erev Yom Kippur because it's ilum kilum misana. However, the Ksav Sofer says, what if it's a woman and she's not going to fast in Yom Kippur? So he says, we no longer have the reason for hachana. And we no longer have the reason that the mitzvah seish my grandma prepares to her, applies to her, because the only reason why the mitzvah seish applies to the woman in the first place, as we said before, is because she needs as much hachana for a man, right? A woman needs hachana for the fast just as much as a man does. If it wasn't for that reason, it would be mitzvah seish as my grandma. And if you tell me it's v'nisim es nafsho seichem, that only applies if the woman is going to be mechuyevet in inoy. But if she's not mechuyevet in inoy, she shouldn't be mechuyevet in mechila. So interesting enough, the Ksav Sofer says if a man is going to eat on Yom Kippur, he has to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. If a woman is going to eat on Yom Kippur, she does not have to fast an Erev Yom Kippur. Very interesting. We don't have time for that. We'll end it right there. But I want to end one last point. Is though we focused on the practical halacha of this idea, I want to share with you just one last nice idea of why, another reason suggested of why we eat an Erev Yom Kippur. There's an idea mentioned that all of Klal Yisrael, if we want to fast, we want to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness as individuals, we have to include all of Klal Yisrael as well. There is an idea mentioned that although all Jews, unfortunately, don't partake in fasting on Yom Kippur itself, when it comes to eating Erev Yom Kippur, we can be sure that whether or not the Kavanah is there or not, all Jews are involved in eating an Erev Yom Kippur. And therefore, since part of coming in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur is coming as a Klal, we're incomplete on Yom Kippur because not everybody's in shul with us. So ki'ilu mis'ane ba'asiri if you ochel an shi'i. So everybody is ochel an shi'i. And therefore it's ki'ilu kol klal yisrael mis'ane and asiri. We should all have a meaningful Yom Kippur and we should have all our tefillah as a klal and as individuals answered by Kadosh Baruch Hu.